This is the one we have trouble reading, but it says, I know that in the midst of it all, it must have been hard to see your son hang out with a bunch of losers, but my question is how your view has changed towards it. Would something about your son's friends today as sick friends instead of losers? Yeah, the word losers was an inaccurate term. Of course they were sick. We don't view those kids as losers. And they had a lot of difficulty, and they didn't help each other. They dragged each other down, which is not uncommon. You know, we all sought lower companions. I happened to be a lower companion to a number of my friends. But what happens is when you start to get well, that young man who was just nuts, our middle boy was just crazy. I thought he was going to end up in jail. You know, went on, after going to 5 colleges, went on to NYU and got a degree in film, and is now sober 14 years and is, what, 15 years and is working out in L.A. He's not the same young man today. He wouldn't, you know, and so as his view starts to change, I mean, our oldest boy got sober and lived in Europe for 5 years. He came back, got an MBA at Columbia, and has worked around the world consulting. He's sober 16 years. Our 23-year-old son was horrible in school. Not bad, horrible. He has a learning disability. He's attention deficit. He's dyslexic. He, for all practical purposes, did not have a high school education. At 23, he is now starting college with almost no background. But because he's 5 years sober and because he's got a good attitude, it is still horribly difficult for him. And with a lot of tutoring, he just is in his second year of school and doing okay. And he's a... a very different young man today.
Yeah, and by loser, I was more referring to the fact of my denial, too. You know, I was denying the fact that anything was wrong with Peter, so I had to make everything wrong with everybody else.
Yeah. Do you trust God in every way in your life today? Mm-hmm. No.
But we try.
That's the goal.
Yeah. Who is God? We have 3 more days. Maybe we're all God in drag. You know, maybe that's at the deepest recesses of who we be, that we be God. Not all that God is. My spiritual advisor says if I took a cell out of your hand, one cell, all that cell would be Bob. But that cell would not be everything Bob was. He said, everything you are is God, but you are not everything that God is. Okay, so it's difficult to hold the ocean of the world in the teacup of your mind. How do you make distinction between being responsible and taken care of in the sense of when you let go or when do you let God?
I think that's probably the hardest thing for me in Al-Anon is that boundary between what's my responsibility and what is not my responsibility. I don't have any trouble with you, but when it comes to my kids, that is a real, real tough line.
What about your husband?
No, he's not part of that. It's, you know, he clearly can function very well on his own, and he doesn't. I don't feel
is this
the same.
Is this a recent attitude of yours?
Maybe. I don't know. No, I. You know, for me, it's just totally different with the kids. Now they're adults, so I mean, I treat them as adults, and the lines are pretty clear right now. But those times between, you know, you start off with this person that you're totally responsible for. I mean, totally. that sweet little Lucas back there. You know, I mean, can't do anything for himself. So his mom and dad have to do everything. And then as they get older, they can do a couple more things, and then they more and more. And so
eventually
we're supposed
they can do
drugs. Isn't that the truth in our family? But, you know, you keep having to move back, and then the kids do that too, you know. Leave me alone, come, you know, go away, leave me alone, go away, leave me alone. So all I know is I work a real good program around that, and that is where I get my help from my sponsor and people who've walked ahead of me. And I do the best I can, and when it feels like I'm getting into their turf, I withdraw. And, you know, I do sort of get a feeling, but that's a real tough. And it's also, to me, a real important Al-Anon issue.
And I think it's a... But as you start to have a more open relationship with the universe and the God of your understanding, you just walk more gently. You just listen better. You listen to what's going on around you. When it's, you don't push as hard. You know, when I'm not listening, I'm a hard pusher. When I, you know, so it's, you just dance differently when you're connected to your higher power than you do when you're not. When I'm not connected, my dance is the bump. How do you get to trusting God now, as you talked about? Any pointers on that? I think when the 12th step says having had a spiritual awakening, that suggests to me that the whole process of recovery is one of awakening, which means to me that as I go through recovery, I am more alert, I am more awake. It's a process. It is not, you don't just arrive and stay in one place at one time. It takes you go forward, you go back, you go sideways, you go, you know, you get periods where you have growth, you get periods where you feel like you're going, you know, where you're just, it's a grind. You get periods where, you know, you get into a serious depression for a couple of years, you get periods where your business doesn't work. I mean, life just shows up. And it's difficult to play golf in a 30-mile-an-hour wind when it's raining. Okay? There will be times in your program where you won't look good. You know, but in some of those times, you just hang on. You just don't drink, and you surround yourself with friends, and you do the best you can do. And it sometimes isn't pretty. Okay? But you don't intentionally try to do wrong things. But sometimes, life is just hard. Really hard. You know, and it's not a punishment, it's just your turn. It's just, you know, and many of those very hard times are also times for us to learn. There are, you know, the universe is trying to push our nose down into it and saying, look at this. I was wondering, do you use the traditions at home? And if you do, how do you do it? I mean, that's a 3-hour, yes, we use the traditions at home. No, we don't use them formally. You know, we aren't aware. What happens to me with the steps and traditions is not only do they become available to you in your head, they become available to you in your heart. They become part of who you are. So we want to be self-supporting. We want to be independent. You know, we want to have our common welfare, you know, as a couple come first. All those sorts of those principles are spiritual principles, just like the steps are spiritual principles. So we, to the extent that we're aware of them and we've been around them for a long time, we try to...
Yep, I agree.
I know we cannot make people go into AA or Al-Anon, but is there some way that we can tell them or show them that it would be good for them to go into AA?
Well, no, we can't make anybody do anything, but... you know, you've heard that statement that you may be the only...
I can, because I'm not
Al-Anon. You may be the only copy of the big book that anyone will ever read. You know, it's attraction rather than promotion. And, you know, if I have integrity in my life and I work the steps on a continuous basis and I'm honest, trustworthy, and good to be around, that to me is the best advertisement for Al-Anon, and certainly sobriety and the same qualities for AA. You can't make them go, but you can maybe attract them and show them there's a different way to live.
A couple of things that strike me about that is my high school friends, four of them are in AA. They all came to me. You know, I never got in their faces. I never got on their cases. You know, they're wonderful people. They were drunks, but they were good people. And when the time came, they all called me. And they've got 30, 28, 25, and 18 years of sobriety. You know, and they've stayed in the program and they stayed sober. Very blessing. My children, as I will tell later, I was sometimes violent with my children. I was immature, angry, and sometimes I would get physical with my kids. I'm not proud of that, but that is an accurate description of what I was. My father was pretty physical with me, and it's kind of like, you know, crap rolls downhill. Wouldn't it have been horrible for my horrible behavior to have gotten my children, when they got the disease of alcoholism, to think that they didn't want to go into AA because of their old man? Wouldn't that, you know, big Mr. AA, you know, that could have happened. Now, I handled that in my recovery. I handled it late, okay? And it wasn't like that's all there was. There was a lot of love and a lot of other things in that mixture. We've always had a good relationship, but we're a loud physical family. And if I stood my boys up today, I think they'd say something that didn't sound quite that negative, but, you know, that's the way it was. And I am so grateful that they didn't stay away from AA because of their father. You know, as a matter of fact, they would say, I think they came to AA because of what they saw in the balance of my life. They knew I wasn't perfect, but they knew, they thought what we were doing in our program was attractive. And when it was their turn to find help, you know, so you are going to be, you don't have to preach. People will see what the program is in your life, and they'll buy it or not buy it. And sometimes they can't see, you know, but they'll see maybe later. Do you experience any difference in the selfishness of the alcoholic, sober or unsober?
Who? Yes, of course. But, you know, we still have our character defects. We still have the traits. The thing that, for me, the biggest difference in the relationship that I have with Bob and the kids, so they're, you know, they're the alcoholics, is that some of the character defects may come up just the same way. But my kids, one of them will leave the house and slam the door, and I'm not kidding you, I can almost count. 20 minutes later, I get a call. You know, Mom, I was really out of line. I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to treat you that way. That isn't how I want to be. So we make amends. And we all try to be different. But we all are, you know, no one's perfect. But yes, I mean, a difference between sobriety and drinking, I mean.
I mean, it's like a sex change operation.
No comparison.
It's not a small change. How can I practice trust on a daily basis? Like, for instance, trusting that God takes care of my children.
Well, you know, you have to just keep reinforcing it, and you have to keep believing it. Because God does take, I mean, if I believe God takes care of me, of course he takes care of my children. But there's that fear and that insanity that comes in that I can do it better, or that, you know.
Well, that you're supposed to do it. That,
yeah.
It's your job to do it. I mean, the society, I think. We used to get people, our kids were always in trouble, and people would come over and say, can you guarantee your children will not do this again?
Yeah.
And we would say no. And they would look at us like we were nuts. And we would say, we will do everything in our power to have them behave. We will encourage them to behave. We will punish them if they don't behave. We will do, but I cannot guarantee. And they would look at us like, what's wrong with you? Like, I mean, they were confident that they could guarantee the behavior of their children. And we were confident that at some level, we, you know, there comes a time when
we had a lot of evidence that we couldn't also.
And but that is the hardest when your children are involved. I mean, having children is like having a bowling alley installed in your head. It is not an easy process. It takes 125% of whatever you have. It is, I mean, the great relationships of life with your parents, with your children, with your spouse. There's no rule book. I mean, it takes everything you have. It takes 100% of both people in that process to make it work. Maybe 120% of both people in that process to make it work. It's a dance. It is not, you can't tell someone how to be. You can point out, you can coach, but love is a thing of God. I mean, I really think that, you know, my spiritual advisor says, you know, life is a school, love is the subject. And if you're moving in the right direction in your program and in life, you're becoming more loving. You know, and I think eventually, if you want to take a look at where your program is taking you, you know, I hope that it's taking us towards love, you know, towards gentleness, towards, you know. Did you first experience your higher power as AA and then transition into God? And explain how that happens. I don't know exactly how it happened. Yes, I first experienced my higher power as AA, but I always had a God. I just was uncomfortable with my relationship with that higher power. I had to work that out in AA. And it was a gradual transition. My relationship with God has felt more like coming home than going someplace. You know, it just felt like I've always had the relationship and I just didn't realize it at some point in time. You? Your boys are recovered, I understand. How do you feel when your boys started to drink and go out of control?
Well, horrible. Responsible. I should be doing something differently. If I were a better parent, this wouldn't be happening.
Yeah, I agree.
the sense that I could do something about it. I mean, you know, it's like watching your kid get up on a huge cliff and, you know, it's dancing around the edges. I mean, you're scared stiff. You know, and you... What can I do? How can I get him to stop? I knew it was a disease, but I also knew that I didn't carry the medicine. You know, I didn't carry the cure. They had that within them. And so we had to wait for their time. But
and
horrible.
And we didn't just wait. We had them evaluated. We interfered.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we,
we interfered.
Took them to people. It was not like we just stood by and watched. You know, I mean, it is... once we felt like that was the process, once we identified that that was the process that was going on, but then at other times, you know what's going on and you've got a choice. You can lose the kid. You push too hard. Does a child leave home? Does leaving home better for that child? You know, I mean, there aren't black and white answers to those questions.
Yeah, we had friends who would say, especially when Dan was about 15, you know, just let him go. Put him out on the street and let him have the consequences of his own behavior. And we talked it over, and for us that didn't work. He was a kid who didn't have enough skills. He would have, we thought he would have been eaten up out there. And so we did not do that. You know, we continued to have inappropriate behavior in the house, and like Bob said, you know, we took him to help, to get him help. But that was not the right decision for us, for our 15-year-old son. And you have to make your own decisions. Not easy, though.
If you're an alcoholic, do you need Al-Anon as well to deal with your codependency? I'm not codependent.
I'm interested in this answer.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm... I'm more into murder than I am into suicide. Codependency is not my issue. I mean, there may be times when I, with my children, you know, get into that. Everybody has part of them where they take care of other people. And we've gotten so into all these terms. Most alcoholics, I believe, do not need Al-Anon. If we invade Al-Anon too much, we'll ruin Al-Anon. I mean, if you're just going to opinion. I got an opinion on everything from hemorrhoids to brain surgery, so this doesn't mean much. But I don't believe that AA should casually go into Al-Anon. I believe that there are quite a number of alcoholics that well might need Al-Anon because they are either married or doing it. But we will do, if we mix the integrity of the two programs up, there's going to be some mischief in that. I went to Al-Anon for 4 months when my middle boy was having the biggest trouble and when he was in treatment. And I left Al-Anon. It was a men's group, wonderful group, great guys. I knew quite a number of the people. I tried to go as a beginner. I'll tell you something. It's hard to surrender at depth to a second issue. It's hard enough to surrender at depth to one issue. To kid yourself that you think you can do it twice, most drunks don't go into Al-Anon like a beginner. They don't do 90 and 90. They don't get a sponsor and call them every day. They don't. They're doing it like a social club. Okay, they're not doing it like their life depends on it. Okay, well, the people who really need Al-Anon, their life depends on it. And you know, this isn't black and white, so don't get it. You know, but I want to make a distinction between how hard it is to do two programs. And there are more people today that do that and do it well than there ever have been.
And the ones who come to Al-Anon and really do it well, they're such an asset to our program. And, you know, I think, of course, I love it. So I think Al-Anon can work for everyone. But I do believe, and I've seen, where many times the AA will come not in a teachable position. You know, this is my first meeting, but, and then they'll go off on step whatever we're on for 10 or 15 minutes, you know, and that's because they know the step, but they know it in their own program. And Al-Anon has a different focus. But, boy, I invite anybody who really needs Al-Anon, if you're AA, please come. But come open and teachable and as a newcomer.
How important to a relationship,
marriage,
is it when both are doing the program? It's extraordinarily
rich
and wonderful and works very well. But I would say that is not usual, unfortunately. When I came into AA in the 60s, most of the people in recovery were men. We didn't have too many women. And most of their a lot of their spouses went to Al-Anon. Today, I would say that it's a minority. It's like 30% of 30. You know, even of the married people, the spouses don't always go. Today, for most of the spouses didn't work in the 60s. I mean, there's a big change today. 40 years, you know, after that, or 30 years after that. There's a lot of spouses that don't go, you know, that don't go to Al-Anon today. And there's still a lot, obviously, that do. But I think when both of you have a program and both of you are focused and both of you have those principles that are alive, it's just better. And I mean way better, you know. It isn't perfect, but it's...
Yeah, I totally agree. I'm just, it isn't necessary. You know, if your boyfriend, girlfriend, spouse, parent, child goes to Al-Anon because you're alcoholic, But it gives us the same language. And it gives us the basis of the same, you know, we both have the same tools, and they're the 12 steps. So when we're both working out of that same toolbox, things just flow better. But one is not dependent on the other. But I do believe when the marriage between the two programs takes place, it's easier. It's just easier.
Is that it?
Yep.
Okay.
Okay, absolutely.
We're done with questions.